this revelation. Okay, as I said, the title for today's meditation in the morning is Three Steps to Please the Lord. Okay, and our topic, our message is taken from the book of Daniel. Okay, Daniel chapter 1. Specifically, we'll be focusing on verse 8. Okay, but we can read from verses 1 to 8 responsively. Okay, so Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Okay, and if we're all there, I'll begin and we'll read these verses responsively. Okay, verse 1. In the third year of the reign Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it.
And along came Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, of the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God.
And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes.
Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans.
And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king.
Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah,
unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Amen. We thank the Lord for the reading of his holy and precious word. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for how you have seen us through the entire YF retreat. We thank you that as we prepare our hearts to break camp and to return back into the world, we pray that thou will help us as we meditate upon thy word. May you direct our hearts and our minds aright to do that which is well-pleasing in thy sight. And Father, we pray that thou will be with us in this time to meditate upon thy word. We pray that thy spirit will be our teacher. We pray that thou will remove any sin or iniquity that is within our hearts, and grant us a heart that is humble, a heart that is tender to receive of thy holy word and to obey it. We pray and commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
So, three steps to please the Lord. Now, pleasing God is the desire of every Christian, or it really should be, it ought to be the desire of every Christian. A person who is truly born again will desire to please the Lord. And that is the nature of us being Christians, right? Us being born again, us being given the new nature, whereby the old nature has passed away, and now we are a new creature. We have a new nature, a new heart that desires spiritual things. And so that is the nature of us being Christians, that we now have the duty, now we have the desire even, to please the Lord. And how do we please the Lord? Well, that is where we saturate ourselves with God's Word. That's where we study God's Word. Right? Because one of the reasons why we study God's Word, in fact, you can say even the primary reason why we study God's Word, is to know how we can please the Lord. Right? Why do we spend so many hours, right, going through different topics of God's Word? Right? Why do we go through so many different, varied topics of God's Word, not just those pertaining to salvation? Now, those pertaining to the character of God. Yes, all these things are important, right, but The Bible has been given to us. The whole Bible has been given to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right? It is to help us to completely please the Lord. And that a man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That is why the Lord has given to us His Word. And it's so that we can know how we ought to please the Lord. And this is especially important, right? Especially important reminder for us at the end of the retreat. Right? Because we have learned God's Word. Right? Now we have studied, we have spent time to know specifically what is Christian liberty all about. But it must not just stop there. Right? What is the purpose behind the learning? What is the purpose behind the study of Scripture? Not just here in the YEF retreat, but in the entire YEF, our annual schedule, right, when we are studying 1 Corinthians, in our study on the Lord's Day, on the book of Revelation and the book of Leviticus, and any other study of God's Word. What is the purpose? What is the aim in our study? It is really to please Him. And that's where we see the example of Daniel. Right? Because Daniel was one who we know pleased the Lord with his life. Right? The Lord was pleased with his life, with his testimony, with his obedience. Right? And that is what we know about the prophet Daniel. Right? In fact, this prophet Daniel, he was able to please the Lord even though he was in a foreign land. Right? Even though the conditions were not favorable for him to please the Lord. And it will be akin to a complete opposite of what a retreat is, right? Or a complete opposite of what a church camp is. Whereby, instead of being fully saturated in the Word of God, right, spending uninterrupted time studying the Word of God, and Daniel was found in a foreign land, where he could not go to the temple to worship the Lord. Right? There was no more temple, the temple had been destroyed. Whereby he cannot have his fellow the people who are over authority over him, right, his parents or his spiritual leaders, right, they have all been taken away. And now the question is, will Daniel stand? And by the grace of God, through what we find in the book of Daniel, right, we see how he stood to please the Lord, even though he was in such a situation. And so we want to learn from the example of Daniel the three things that he did in order that he could please the Lord. Right, and the first thing we see, and again we are focusing specifically on verse 8, right, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Right, so here the Bible tells us that Daniel knew something that he was not supposed to do. Specifically, he was not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And so what we see, the first step, right, if we are to please the Lord, the first step that we must take is we must have the knowledge of the truth. Right, we must know what is true, what is false. We must know what is right and what is wrong. What brings purity and what brings defilement. Right, because that was what Daniel did. He understood. Right, you see, when we see here that he purposed in his heart and then he went on to obey, right, yes, all these things we will discuss later, that was part of his pleasing of the Lord. Right, but all these things cannot come about if he did not have this first step, right, the knowledge of God's Word, right, the knowledge of the truth. How was he to know that for him to partake the king's meat and the king's drink, which was probably offered to idols, right, which was probably of the unclean sort, right, unclean animals that they were not permitted to eat. How was Daniel to know all these things, that he was not allowed by God to partake of all these food? Well, he had to know God's Word. He had to understand the laws of God's Word, right, what we've been studying in the book of Leviticus, what they can eat, what they cannot eat, and of course the principle of how they must worship God alone, right, God only. And so Daniel had to understand all these things. And what specifically did he understand? Well, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And the defilement there speaks of pollution, speaks of stain, and speaks of sin. And this idea of what sin is based on the law of God. And we can only define what sin is by the breaking of the law. And same also with crimes in a country. Now, how do you define what a crime is? A crime is when you break the law. And so the law determines, the law shows to you what your sin is. Right? The law shows to you what your crime is. And in this case, specifically, the law has showed to Daniel what he ought to eat and what he ought not to eat. And a breaking of that law would be defilement. Right? It would be sin. And so he had to have a clear delineation, a clear understanding of what sin is and what sin is not. So up to where am I able to do? And when I've crossed this line, it means that I have sinned. And so Daniel had to be very clear in his mind. And that clarity can only come about when he understands God's word. Right? You see, oftentimes we are not clear on certain things, and not because the Bible is unclear, and not because the Bible doesn't say, but because we have not studied what the Bible actually says. And that's why we are unclear. But as we study more and more of God's word, then we are better able to understand what is sin and what is not sin. We are better able to see what defiles us and what purifies us, sanctifies us. And note here also that when Daniel said, right, that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself of the portion of the king's meat. Well, we must understand this in its proper context and the proper understanding, because when Daniel said that, I will not defile myself, right, it is not also in the heart or in the attitude or in the motive of, well, this is something that is sinful, right, it will stain me, and so, yes, I want to have nothing to do with it, but he does so in pride. But you see, there's a very fine line between an obedience that is pleasing to the Lord and a semblance of an obedience that is displeasing to the Lord. And a person, two people can appear to do the same thing. Right? One can say that, oh, this is sinful and wrong, I don't want to do it. The other person can say the same, this is sinful and wrong, I don't want to do it, I don't want it to defile me. One can be, yes, I don't want it to do so because I love the Lord, I love His people, I love my neighbor as myself, and because I love the Lord, this is what I desire to do. And he does so out of grace. Right? He understands that he has been saved, he understands that this is what he desires to do, and he does so out of grace. Now, the second kind can do so out of law, right? Meaning that when he does these things, right, it is, yes, in a sense, in his mind, to please the Lord, right? But at the same time also, it is not really to please the Lord in the right way. Right? It's not because he truly loves the Lord, that's why he's doing it. Right? It's not because it comes forth from an understanding of grace, of salvation, of how the Lord has helped him. But it comes forth out of pride. I will not defile myself. Right? I will not allow these things to make me unholy. This is who I am. But for the other person, yes, I will not defile myself. I do not want these things to make me unholy. But because this is who I want. Or because I want to please the Lord. Because this is who I want to glorify. It is God. It's not about me. It's not about trying to uphold an image of myself. But it is simply to please the Lord. And what that means also is that if there are misunderstandings or if there are things that may come about whereby people may not understand or may misunderstand, what's ultimately most important is that you know that your heart is right with the Lord. And that's also what we have been considering during the messages on Christian liberty, right? The importance of our motives, the importance of our heart, the reason why we do things. Not just so much what we do per se, that is important, right? But the reason and the heart behind what we do. And that is also what Daniel would learn, right? Don't think that that's just a New Testament principle. And because remember, what is the preamble to what the Lord had given to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, they were to teach the law diligently, right, to their children. Right, but what was the preamble to that? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? So it is the love that God has also emphasized, even in the context of the Old Testament. Right? So it's not just an outward keeping, an outward form, but a true keeping, a keeping of the heart. And when we understand what the Bible says about these things, right, these commandments, truly, as they are. And commandments, yes. Commandments of obedience. Commandments of, yes, we have to do certain things. Right? It's not just also just about the heart. But at the same time also, it greatly involves the heart. So much so that without which, it is not obedience. If we are able to understand that, then we will be able to please the Lord. Right? So that is the first thing that we must understand about pleasing the Lord. Right? That it involves our knowledge, the proper, correct understanding of the truth, which includes understanding what sin is, and understanding how we can obey the Lord. Right? And this is what we have done in this time of retreat. Right? This time of retreat has been the time of the accumulating of this knowledge of the truth. Right? The sharpening of our understanding of this truth. Right? And I say for myself as well that through these few messages, I've really learned a lot. I learned more. I learned things that I did not know concerning Christian liberty. And I'm sure it's the same for you. Right? And if that is the case, now we know how to approach it rightly, now we know what it is, now we have all these new understandings of what Christian liberty is, well, we cannot stop there. And because that is only the first step. If we only stop there, if we only say that, yes, I know what defilement is, I know what it means to practice Christian liberty wrongly, I know what it means to practice Christian liberty rightly, but then we just stop there, and then we have not yet pleased the Lord. Right? Because it will be exactly the same as Daniel saying, in fact, you know, in those days, right, it wasn't just Daniel and his three friends who were captured. Right? The Bible tells us of the other Jews, right, the other children of the Jew, or specifically children of Judah, right, who were captured. You mean that the children of Judah didn't know that they cannot defile themselves? Of course they knew. Right? Of course they knew from God's word what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. And then why only Daniel and his three friends? And because the difference, they knew the truth. They could tell you, yes, this animal is clean, this animal is unclean. But the difference, the Bible tells us in verse 8, is Daniel purpose in his heart. Right, and that's the second step that we must take. So we cannot just stop at the first step, knowing the truth, that is important. Right, but now we need to purpose in our heart. And what does it mean to purpose in our heart? The word purpose here has the idea of setting, establishing, or fixing. Right, so that means you fix it in your heart. Right? You set it in your heart. So now you know that this is true. In the case of Daniel, now you know that defilement is the partaking of the food that are offered to idols, of food that are not permitted by God. Now he sets it in his heart. Now this becomes his principle. And now this is his resolution. Right, these are just some of the words that help to tie in this idea of purposing in his heart. It is now something that he has, because of the knowledge of God's word, purposed in his heart to do. Promised himself that this is what I will do. Now he uses the word of God as his guiding principle. And that's the other aspect of this word purpose. Right? Purpose also doesn't just have the idea of setting, fixing and establishing, but it also has the idea of directing. Right? So that means you direct your heart to the right direction. And so instead of your heart telling you what to do, right, your heart dictating, right, in the situation, wow, you know, in Daniel's situation, it was so difficult. Right? You're facing against kings, and not just kings, kings that have conquered your kings. And if you were to follow your heart, right, then actually very easily you can say, okay, I'll just submit. Right? It's easier to submit. Right? Later, something happened to me. Right? I just want to quickly make sure I save my skin. Right? I don't want to cause any trouble. Right? So that would be him following his heart, as did many of the children of Judah. Now what did Daniel do instead? Instead of allowing his heart to dictate what he does, he allowed God's word to dictate his heart. Right, so yes, your heart, you may be feeling all these things, you may be feeling all these fears, you may be feeling all these difficulties in these situations, but Daniel still purposed in his heart. And that's really what a purposing is, isn't it? If it is easy, right, or if it is already the way that we will respond, right, then there's not much need to purpose anything in that sense. Right, because if, let's say, in this situation is easy, there's, for example, food that are clean in front of you, right, in the table in front of you, right, you are just given that situation to eat it. Actually, there's no direct purposing, right? It's just food, and then you just eat. Right, but in this case, his heart was put to the test. And that was what enabled Daniel. Or that is what highlighted this aspect, this important aspect of needing to purpose in our hearts. Because not all things in life will go smooth sailing. Not all things in life will go according to plan. In fact, it's more often times the opposite. Things in life will always go contrary to our plans. Things in life presenting itself will always tend towards us going towards the direction of disobedience. And we are the ones who have to purpose and set it in our hearts that we will not go down that way. We will not go down that direction. And that is why we need to purpose in our hearts, right? We need to have a right understanding of God's word. And then having the right understanding of God's word, set it in our heart. To say that now, this is my principle. What I have thought of before, now I'm no longer going to follow that. Right? What I have been tempted to do in the present situation, I am now going to disregard it because this is what God's word says and I purpose in my heart, this is what I will do. I've made a promise before God, I made a promise to myself that this is what I will do. And so that is what it means to purpose in our hearts. And that is what Daniel did. And so how was he able to stand against the kings and all that? It began here. Right? He understood what God's word said. And then now he directed his heart to the obedience of God's word. And now this was his principle. This was how he was going to act. He already made the decision in his heart. And that was what he did. He purposed in his heart. And so now for us, what we must understand is that this is what we must do if we are to grow in our sanctification, especially as it pertains to Christian liberty, as we have learned in today's this YEF retreat this year. And because now that we learn what Christian liberty is, now that we know that Christian liberty, how it is to be carried out, right, how it is to be done, how we ought to relate one to another with respect to things pertaining to Christian liberty, how we ought to exercise charity and love, how we ought to be understanding, how we ought to pray for one another, right, all these things that we have studied and we have learned in this retreat. Now the question is, will we purpose in our hearts to exercise it rightly? Will we now say to our own souls, yes, what I've done before is wrong. The way that I've understood this particular topic, and not just pertaining to Christian liberty, but all any other lesson that we may learn from God's word. Right? The thing that we have learned before is wrong, or the thing that I've understood before is wrong, and now I set it in my heart because I know what God's word has said, and this is what God's word says, and so I purpose in my heart that this is now how I will act. And this purposing, just as in the case of Daniel, will be tested. And the purposing is especially needed when things are difficult. In Daniel's case, when he was faced with powerful men, and will he still obey? And he had to really purpose in his heart. The purposing will be tested. How far are you willing to obey God's word? Are you willing to obey God's word when it's easy? Okay, sure. Are you willing to obey God's word when there is certain inconveniences? Okay, you may still say, yes, I will. But what about when it is difficult now? What about when it will cost you? What about now when you need to sacrifice? Will you still obey God's word? And so that is how we must purpose in our hearts. That comes about only when we purpose in our hearts to obey the Lord. It's only when times that are difficult, times that when we do not feel like it, that we really need to purpose in our hearts. And this will truly be tested. And this requires self-denial. And you see, purposing in our hearts means that we will need to change. Right, purposing in our hearts would mean that I have to acknowledge who I was before and then what I am now because of what I understand from God's word. And that will require self-denial. And that will require the putting down of our pride. Right, that will require us re-evaluating how we ought to live our lives. Right, and in the context here of specifically of Christian liberty, right, that would help us to re-evaluate, or that would need to, what we need to do is in purposing in our hearts, how we ought to obey this now. It would mean that we need to change the way we think and change our hearts, purpose in our hearts to obey the law. Right, okay, so that's what we see in the second step. Right, so again, the first step, we must first know. Right, if we do not know, we cannot purpose. We know wrongly, we will purpose wrongly. Right? But having known rightly what God's word says about a certain topic, right, about a certain aspect of theology, right, now we purpose it in our heart. Right? Say, this is what we will do, no matter the case. In principle, I've already surrendered. In principle, I've already said that I will obey. Of course, in times of difficulty, in times of temptation, sometimes we may fail. Right, but that's not talking about that. That's this what the Bible here speaks of is a purposing in our hearts whereby now we will do it. Right, we will obey. Right, but again, if we just stop there, right, we just stop at the purposing part, it still does not mean that we have obeyed. And that's when we come to the third step. And the third step is now obedience, right? The obedience of life. Right? The life that is obeyed. Okay, and that's what we find for the rest of verse 8, and also actually for the rest of chapter 1. Right? But we'll just focus on verse 8. Right? The Bible says that because Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, therefore. And so he did something about it now. And he did not just, okay, this is what God should say, okay, I purpose in my heart, but now when the test comes, okay, I back off. Right? I don't pass the test. Right? But no, Daniel said, therefore. And therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He did something about it to make sure that he did not sin against the Lord. And that is something that it is important for us to understand. That it is not just about thinking about obeying. And that's sometimes the struggle that we have, right, after a camp or after a retreat. And because now we have spent so much time studying God's word, knowing about what God's word says about this, God's word says about that. We know different scenarios, how to respond and all these things. And then at the end of the church camp, wow, we feel that wow, we are brought closer to the Lord. But if we have not yet obeyed, actually the Lord is not yet pleased. Yes, the Lord is pleased in our obedience in the studying of His Word. But what about the things that you have studied from God's Word? It must be acted upon. It's not just thinking about obeying. Not just purposing in our hearts and say, okay, if such situation comes, I will obey. But then when the situation comes, we do not. But now, Daniel acted upon it. And this is so important because otherwise it will just be a deceiving of ourselves. So that's what the book of James tells us. Why is it a deception of self when we hear God's word but we do not do God's word? And because we come under this false sense of understanding, a false sense of security, or that because I know a lot of God's word, I'm very close to God. But in actual fact, we have not obeyed, we have not followed what God's word said. And so that is why it's so important for us to do it. But furthermore, when we look at the obedience of Daniel, actually what we find very interestingly is the way in which Daniel obeyed. Right? Because Daniel could have obeyed in many different ways. Right? Daniel could have said that this is defilement. I go on a hunger strike. Right? He can say, this is defilement. I will not, you can just kill me. Right? I rather die than defile myself. Right? And so therefore, just take my life. Right? I'm not scared. Right? He can respond in obedience in that way. Yeah, but that was not how he responded in obedience. How did Daniel respond in obedience? He went to the prince of the eunuchs. Okay, so that's what we see first, which is that he did not usurp the authority, even though this was a wicked authority. Right? He was part of the people who had enslaved Daniel and his countrymen. But what Daniel did was that he went through the proper channels. He went to the eunuch, and then he told the eunuch the situation, this is something that I will not eat. And then at the same time also, he was given wisdom by God to give an alternative solution. Right? He said to the eunuch that, okay, you prove me 10 days. Right? You check. See, after 10 days, if I just eat vegetables, am I comparable to those who eat the king's meat? And so somehow the Lord gave him the wisdom to be able to navigate this very complicated situation, and yet at the same time still obeying the Lord. And that is the kind of wisdom that we need when we obey the Lord. Yes, many things in Scripture, in fact, you can say the principles in Scripture are very clear-cut. And there's no argument about it. When God says, thou shalt not lie, is thou shalt not lie. When God says, thou shalt not kill, is thou shalt not kill. It's very clear. And by the same time also, how do we, in various situations that are so varying, right, so different, one situation from another, how do we exercise wisdom in our obedience to God without compromise and without defiling ourselves in the case of Daniel? And we really need the Lord, Lord's wisdom. And in this case, Daniel did not allow one part of God's word, the keeping of one part of God's word, to cause him to break the other parts of God's word. Right? He didn't say that, okay, this is defilement, I will not allow myself to be defiled. And then he takes things in his own hands, and then he forces, right, whether those above him or those around him, or he does something that is sinful just to avoid defiling himself. Right, then that defeats the purpose of God's law. James tells us also that if we break one, we break all. Right, you cannot say that I just want to not defile myself in this area and then end up sinning in other areas. Right, because it comes together. And in this case, right, for Daniel, what he did was that God gave him the wisdom. He was able to navigate the situation. He did not usurp the authority of the eunuch. He went to the eunuch to deal with the situation with the eunuch. And then at the same time also, God gave him the wisdom to give an alternative solution. So at the end, Daniel still obeyed the Lord. Right? He was not brash. He was not intempered. Right? He was very sober. And this is very, very commendable for a young man like Daniel. Right? We see in the earlier verses, right, how he was just but a youth. Right? But yet he had that sobriety of him. He was not rash. He was not brash. At the same time also, he was at peace with the Lord. And he knew what he needed to do. And he did it in a way that pleased the Lord. And so this is how Daniel obeyed. He did it. And that is the third step in which we ought to have to please the Lord. Right? It doesn't just stop with step one. It doesn't just stop with step one and two. But it needs to go all the way to obedience. And so at the end of this retreat, having learned what Christian liberty entails, the question is, will we obey what we have learned? And so will we? Firstly, right, remember Christian liberty speaks of our motives. And so will we change our motives? Will we change our hearts as to how we would deal with matters of Christian liberty? Will we be honest with our own souls before the Lord? That we truly are doing these things to please Him. Secondly, it also deals with how we treat one another. Whether we show compassion and whether we show love one to another in matters of Christian liberty. Whether we are able to understand that these liberties are God-given. As I have my liberties before God, so also does my fellow brother or sister in Christ have their liberties before God. And not to infringe upon our liberties. And are we able to do that in love? Right? Not also in a way that says that, okay, you don't agree with me, therefore I cut you off. Right? You don't agree with me, therefore we cannot have fellowship. You don't agree with me in matters of Christian liberty, therefore, right, we cannot go further. Right, but on the contrary, right, do we then, knowing what we have learned from the Bible about Christian liberty, do we then now exercise love, compassion, care, prayer, encouragement, and even hearing the other side? And that's what we are called to do. Treat each other with love. And then also, having understood what Christian liberty is, when we have stumbled one another, right, will we acknowledge and also seek forgiveness? Right, because when we learn about Christian liberty, it's also not just I learn and then that's all. Right, but it involves the very real situations of our lives. And if we have truly not treated each other with love, if we have truly had the wrong motives, if we have truly done things that are displeasing in God's sight, then there must be repentance. There must be a seeking of forgiveness. There must be a turning away and turning unto God. There must be a change in the way that we now live our lives. And this is what true repentance is. We must then treat one another with love. We must then make sure that our motives are right before the Lord. And again, these things will not be easy. It will be sometimes even painful, hurtful to our pride. It can be also difficult because we need to change the way that we think. It may require time for us to change. But nevertheless, if we know that these are the things that please the Lord. So not what people say, not what others may say, but this is what God has told me from His Word, and because this is what He has said, I purpose in my heart that this is what I want to do, and then now I take steps to do it. And you pray for God to give you the wisdom, just as He did give Daniel this wisdom, to navigate all the various complicated situations that life may bring, but to still obey the Lord. And that is how we please the Lord. And so at the end of this retreat, I pray that this is what we have set in our hearts to do, and not just another retreat that we go by and then we quickly forget what we have learned, right? And then we just wait for the next thing, right? We wait for the next camp, then we feel a spiritual high, then okay, we wait for the next retreat, right? But that's not how the Lord wants us to live. Whenever we study God's Word, whenever we learn from God's Word, the whole purpose is for us to please the Lord. So that means obedience, but also means obedience in the right way. Then that is true obedience. And so in the case of Daniel, the Lord has given us this example for us to learn. And so may we all also, knowing that this is the privilege that God has given to us to please Him, a privilege that only believers have, that we will also take this privilege with joy and purpose in our hearts to obey Him and to please Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy and precious word. We thank Thee that Thou hast given to us the example of Daniel, of one who pleased Thee. We thank Thee that Thou hast given to us this time in this retreat to learn of Thy word, to know more precisely and accurately, specifically on the topic of Christian liberty. And so, Father, we pray that You help us then, moving forward, to purpose in our hearts, to obey what Thy word says concerning Christian liberty. And we pray also that Thou will help us not just to say it with our lips or agree in our hearts to do it, but to actually do it with our lives. And Father, we need a lot of wisdom, and we pray that Thou will grant us this wisdom. We pray that Thou will cleanse and wash us of every sin for the times that we have not had the right motives in the exercise of our liberties. O Father, please forgive us. Thou knowest our hearts. Our hearts are often deceitful, and we deceive ourselves even. So Father, we pray that Thou will give us pure motives, a motive that is only seeking to please Thee. And at the same time also, we pray that Thou will forgive us for the times that we have not exercised love one toward another in the practice of our liberties. And Father, we pray that Thou will forgive us, and we pray that You will also help us, that we will learn what it means to show love one to another, to not infringe on each other's liberties, but at the same time also to still fellowship and exercise love and care one for another. And may You continue to keep us as a fellowship group, that You will help all of us as we all desire and seek to please You, that together as a fellowship group we can truly please You. And so we pray and commit the rest of the YEF retreat unto Thy loving hands, praying that Thou will continue to be with us and guide us, especially as we go into a time of reflection later. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.